I just wanted to say a little bit more about you because I'm not going to get a chance. The fact that you're the author of numerous books on Tai Chi and Taoism as it relates to business performance and daily life, including the best-selling classic Embrace Tiger, Return to Mountain, The Essence of Tai Chi. You're a research fellow at the Academia Sinica, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And a member of the World Academy of Art and Science and recipient of the Republic of China's Gold Medal of Education, which sounds like a very high honor indeed. So let's begin our presentation and our interview, and once again, thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me to join in, yes.
I wonder if we could begin, if you'd just tell us a little bit about the project that you've been working on in conjunction with the Esalen Institute, the Potential China Project. I think that might be a really neat place for us.
Well, as some people know my history, and I grew up in China, and I left China during the conflict between communists and nationalists and went to Taiwan, and I came to America to study. And so I was steep in Chinese tradition from my family, and I came west to embrace Western tradition. So I was very fortunate to be able to find the balance between my traditional Asian tradition and embrace the Western learning. And one of my good fortune was in early days to encounter Alan Watts and to share with him and to realize a Western person can be so deeply involved in Asian philosophy. In fact, I co-authored his last book, Tao Te Watercourse Way. But the other most important mentor and teacher in my life, colleague, is Houston Smith. And one of the seminars we joined together at Esalen many years ago, it's called The Three Pillars of Asian Wisdom, which we both share the combination, the whole synthesis of Buddhism and Taoism and Confucianism have become the most important combined philosophical living philosophy in China. In Chinese thinking, that we don't really think about these as religions. They're more living philosophy. And Chinese are very practical people. We want to bring the best of different teaching traditions, whether you call religion or philosophy of life, into how to have a good life and how to become a good person. The three pillars of Asian wisdom has been so much a part of Chinese thinking. And this is how I enter and finally become more of a philosopher. And as Jim, you know that I have been involved with the World Parliament of the Parliament of World Religion, and I'm still an assembly member. And my contribution has always been finding somehow using my Asian background, also my understanding and my life in the West, and all my life trying to find some kind of synthesis and building the bridges to find the balance. And Houston Smith is another person which I admire so much because we have something very basic in common. He grew up in China. His parents were missionaries. He did not leave China until he was 17 years old to come back to U.S. I also grew up in China, and I did not come to America until I was 17 years old. And the interesting thing is we were born very close to each other. In fact, we can still speak the same dialect, and we even have the same school books as children. And he and I have shared so much. He of course is older, and I want to call him my Chinese uncle, but he said, "Don't make me too old. Call me elder brother." So he calls me Hao Di Di, which in Chinese means good younger brother.
Aww.
And this is a man we all know, and he has found this wonderful, wonderful way to using his Christian background, solid upbringing, learning about Asia. And he not only studied it scholarly, but he actually steeped himself into deep meditation. He went to India, he went to Japan, he went to China. He really went deep into the different religious background to make him such an authority on world religions. And I just been so grateful that to be able to call him my elder brother, and he was kind enough to share his teaching with me. So, and he also encouraged me right in the beginning to start using my background to make contribution when China opened its door right after Nixon finally went to China. As we may know that in history sense, China opened the bamboo curtain, and the Russia opened the iron curtain. China never was closed that tight. They just need to be isolated after so many turmoils and internal conflict and external conflict with the outside world. When China opened the door, and suddenly we all realize how important it is for the West to connect with the Chinese thinking, because it goes back thousands of years of this traditional wisdom, and now we really need the balance. So since then, I've been committed to say, yes, this is my background. I'm privileged enough to have both culture background. I need to do something to support this new beginning. So 1987, I supported ESLEN to begin the first citizens diplomacy gathering. We invited Chinese people from government, from different scholarly academy to meet with the counterparts at ESLEN, 1987. It was a wonderful, successful cross-cultural and between people, non-governmental,
this was 1987?
Non-business. 1987 in October. It was the first one, and which went so beautifully. In fact, we could have gone on, but for circumstances of Russia's conflict and China still not totally in harmony, we suspended the program until 3 years ago. And we decided to revive that, and we gave it a term, and we called it Potential China. And with a logo, with an open circle, with a logo called Center. China, we call it China, but Chinese call themselves the Middle Kingdom. The whole idea is we are in the center. We see it from our centering place to open up to the world. It was never a closed policy. It's an open from the centering of our own country, our own culture. We need to open out. So that is the logo we use, and we want to talk about the potential China as a symbol to the whole world, not only about China, but how we relate to China. And China is bigger than just the country. China is about the cultural background, the philosophical background, which, as many of us know now, in the past half a century, Tao has become a word everybody adopt. Zen, Chinese philosophy, Tao Te Ching, Yi Jing, Zen classics, Hindu philosophy, and more now is becoming very, very deeply in our Western cultural absorption. We are at the point now, and we really need to realize it's the world culture. It's a teaching from ancient sages. Whatever background country come from, we need to adopt them, absorb them, assimilate with what we learn, and create a whole new world cultural background we can all partake. And this is my hope, and in the next few years we can make that happen even more, from dropping a pebble here, eventually everything just ripples out. Yeah,
it's very exciting, and I know that Barbara and I can both resonate with some of what you've had to say. It's interesting you mentioned Alan Watson. You're finishing up his last book, Tao, The Watercourse Way. It's one of my very favorites, and if people aren't aware of it, they really should find a copy. It's absolutely beautiful, Al. It's a beautiful
book. I was very fortunate, and he became my teacher mentor, and he encouraged me to, at that time I was actually a professor in architecture and dance, and I was pretty sheltered until I realized so many people are interested in Chinese culture, and Alan, in a way, brought me to teach with him and introduced me to ESLEN Institute and took me around the country to teach. And I was assisting him in the research of his last book he wanted to do on Taoism. And unfortunately, he died in the middle of it, so I ended up having to finish it. But there was a legacy I think we're all very grateful he left for us. Yeah.
Well, there are two books we should really recommend. You also mentioned Houston Smith, who's, of course,
yes,
a great pioneer teacher of the world's religions to the rest of us. And for people that have been involved in this program that are wondering, I get the question all the time, what's the book you would recommend on the world's religions? And the book I always recommend is Houston Smith,
of course,
The World's Religions.
Yeah, especially the latest editions, he's included,
the latest
expanded
edition.
Beautifully.
Right.
Well, the other thing I want to include is if people have not read his recent biography, autobiography called Tale of Wonder, everybody must read that. It's truly a book that can inspire everybody of this man.
Well, let me continue on what we've been developing here and say that you were involved in the Parliament, have been for some time in the Parliament work, and back in 1999 when we were working toward the gathering in Cape Town, South Africa, we were working on a number of very large questions like social, human rights, social and economic justice, sustainability, and so on. Mm-hmm. And you were one of a number of scholars and religious leaders that we called on to help us frame that kind of vision.
Yeah,
and you drew on
it to do. Yeah.
And you drew on the three pillars. You drew on Taoism and Confucianism and Buddhism. Mm-hmm. Particularly, I think, on Taoism, but maybe you could reflect a little bit on that,
as I was thinking,
these critical issues.
Yeah, because of my background, of course, I rely on my sense of how I absorb all these teaching and hopefully as you get older, little wisdom. And these are big topics, and we can draw all kinds of resources. But if I just use, and in fact, when I wrote that back and after the questions came to us, I simply rely on Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching and use some of the verses. For instance, I'm looking at this now on sustainability. Because ancient Chinese really believe in the inseparable part of the Trinity we call heaven, human, earth. And it's often quoted that heaven and human are one, and human, heaven, and earth, we coexist. And there's so much about this when we're now looking at earth as Gaia, the Mother Earth, how to protect the earth, how to not to be the only creature and in the whole world actually do harm to our Mother Earth. And so much in the Tao Te Ching and is teaching us, for instance, in verse 67, and one of the three treasures is frugality, teaching of the danger of overblown consumerism in the exploitation of the earth's resources, which is a big issue now. Yeah. And also in verse 12, and we quote, the five colors blind the eyes, the five tones deafen the ear, the five flavors dull the palate. It's a warning of the madness of having too much and guiding us away from excess and toward the essential. Also, in verse 46, it says, there's no greater curse than the lack of contentment, no greater sin than the greed for possession. Therefore, he who is contented with contentment shall be truly content. Now, these are little gems we can... And again, Tao Te Ching, only merely 5,000 words. And Chinese language is almost telepathic. It leaves a lot of room for you to enter. It does not tell it all. You have to be prepared to grow into that awareness. And suddenly you read it again and again and again, and you grow into true understanding as you mature and hopefully get a little wiser through learning and through age. These are things I would recommend all the listeners and to almost everybody I meet now has a copy or two, even three, of translations of Tao Te Ching. And I always encourage people to begin to just leaf through it and just see, contemplate on it, see what you can get out of it.
It's one of the great works of all time, I think.
And you've led us to right straight to our theme. We've had a theme for each of these traditions.
Uh-huh.
Something you, I know, believe in your heart is that every religion has, this is the way we've been putting it in this ongoing conversation, that every religion is somehow has an excellence that makes it superior to every other. Every religion's superior to every other by virtue of something it does best.
Mm-hmm.
the best of every tradition. And
So
we've tried to identify a theme that speaks to that for each tradition. And for today, and I think it's appropriate, it's the 10th one, the theme is meditation and contemplation.
Yeah,
and I've always been interested in the fact that Buddhism, when it comes to China from India, it brings meditation with it, but Buddhist meditation is forever changed in China when it meets Taoism.
Yes.
And I wonder if you could tell us a little more about it.
Well, as we talked about earlier, Chinese are very practical people, and they're also very open. When Buddhism came to China, and Chinese recognized the beauty of its wisdom, but Chinese also realized that we have to make it our own. So what happens is Tao embraced Buddhism. So in China, we recreate Buddhism into what we call Chan, which eventually becomes Zen. Zen Buddhism, and it's embracing it. So you combine the religious depth and the beauty of the Buddhist thinking and from Hindu Buddha idea and into a Chinese way. And eventually become Zen, and then eventually go to Japan, become a Japanese form, come to Europe and become a European Zen. And what, again, is it's absorbed the best from each religion. One thing I often want to tell people about what is a proper Chinese, and Chinese love the three pillars. And for instance, practically, Confucianism teaches relationship and how to get along with people, how to really have harmonious relations with people. So in your early days in life, and for instance, when you have a career, you need to really learn Confucianism, become even more important. When you retire, when you come home, and you need to think about Taoism, be more natural and follow nature's way. And then when you reach older age and you need to be more spiritual, and you need to tap into more Buddhism and to really find a certain sense of closure and understanding. So a proper Chinese, as we always say, wears a Confucian hat and Taoist rope and the Buddhist sandals at the same time. There's no conflict at all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can embrace all three major wisdom traditions as one. And that's why we call it the three pillars. And it holds it together. If you lose one pillar, it topples over. It's not balanced. Yeah.
I've often said to Western audiences that the whole question, what religion are you, or which is your one religion, seems very strange to a Chinese audience.
I know. It is. We don't think that way. And Houston always say, well, there's a difference between a big, little R religion and a big R religion. And he often remind us, it's just a terminology. And depending on where you're coming from, how you call it, it's a spiritual connection that make you a good person. I still remember each time that when I've been with the Dalai Lama, and one of the most impressive moments actually was in Cape Town. I remember after a big conference, that the press people were hounding him with the big microphone, asking him to just come to a succinct description about religion again. And His Holiness said, no, basically, just how to be a good person. He said, I happen to be a monk, but basically, everything we want to learn is how to be a good human being. I think as simple as that, which is totally universal. We all agree on that one, yeah.
I think it's resonated through your... I'm sorry.
Yes,
It's resonated through everything you've said today, but I think we will ask, there's something that you clearly have deeply in common with Houston Smith and Alan Watts, and I think with many of the people who are on this call, and that is a commitment to interfaith and intercultural understanding. And why has that work been so important to you? It seems to be still very central in your awareness.
Well, for me, I think being Chinese growing up, and I was very fortunate during my first 8 years of my life, because the war with Japan, we were hiding in the villages of China. I was born in the big city of Shanghai, but very quickly we hid in the little villages. I was lucky enough to be in nature with the villagers, with peasants, with the farmers, and to really learn from nature. And for me, my Taoist thinking and learning is not from books, not from ideas, but from living among in nature. And when you live in nature, when you grow up looking at it, and all the other ideas has to fit into your sense of the whole connection to being alive, and with a much bigger cosmic version of what different things you're learning. So it's easy for me to realize almost every religion you learn about has a common link. Maybe we call it different things, but it's the same thing. So it's very easy for me to realize the interfaith idea, because every faith has something wonderful to teach, to be absorbed. And sometimes people get stuck with terminology from the isms. And unfortunately, in fact, Houston and I often joke about it, Alan Watts did too. We call ourselves, if we call our Taoist, it's the Taoist without the ist. If we talk about Taoist, then we want to get rid of the ism. Yeah. And the first line, Tao can be ismed, is not the Tao in Tao Te Ching. we put ourselves into a box, and that's the problem in the world. And if every truly religious, faithful people in their tradition can learn how to open the doors to welcome other wisdom into their wisdom tradition, they become a global citizen. They become a richer, more religious person with a big R, not a little religion. And it's, for me, I think my upbringing, my background, my learning from these wonderful teachers, and just reaffirmed for me how important the interfaith dialogue, and to really respect one another with our traditions, and in fact find it so much more rich and interesting. And Jim, you may remember the Chicago one.
Sure.
The second one after how many years, 100 years?
Yeah.
And remember the whole city of Chicago was just, they were doing so great with all these thousands of people, and the hotel people were saying they could accommodate the food, everything, but one thing they found hard, but they finally did it because they realized for the Muslims, they have to turn towards Mecca, so they have to turn the beds in a different direction. You know? Why not? You know, it's a ritual. It's important. And we need to respect and understand every religious priorities and what makes them religious in their true, faithful way, and makes the whole world rich and wonderful. And instead of trying to indoctrinate everybody, you know. And which is also human nature and sometimes our failings too. Houston is the first one to admit his parents being the wonderful, good-hearted, and good-willed missionaries. And when you really think about it, and missionary with all the goodwill, but they were under the thinking that you have to make all the heathens into Christians in order to allow them to go to heaven. And they forget before Christ was born, lots of religious people, we all had our spirituality before Christ was born. Christian tradition is wonderful. It's another wonderful enrichment in our world learning. So ultimately, I hope the whole world people just all become open-minded, open-hearted, and then to just bring all the religion into our rich lives and to be truly interfaith, interrelated, the whole world will be in harmony, finally. Yeah,
well, that's why we've been finding that so many of the people connected to our organizations are getting more and more interested in really studying the interfaith and intercultural dialogue in forums like this one, because we're evolving and we're on our way, at least we're aspiring to exactly the vision you described. And we're more than capable of it as human beings. And you sometimes wonder, if we can do well or do poorly, why did we choose to do poorly for so long?
Exactly. We have to take pride in our intelligence. We do know one thing, I think, after Iraq war, one good tiny little thing is everybody starts studying something they don't know. Right. We have so little knowledge about other people, and we got to learn. The other thing about China is, now, finally, they are looming so big, and they have coming out, and they have the big coming out party of the Olympic, now the World Expo. They want to explore. They want people to know China, and we need to learn about China, not to make them foreign to us. This is part of my commitment, is how to introduce China to the West, to the world, and open doors for the Western people to see China, not as a foreign people, but part of our whole world richness and our tradition, our wisdom traditions we need to embrace. Yeah.
Well,
so your work
has
been wonderful. Yeah.
Well,
so
thank you so much. I think we all realize that this question of how we approach the emerging power and integration with China, actually the future of our civilization in no small way depends on it. This is no small issue, and I think
we're all understanding
that we have this opportunity now to do it differently maybe than we've ever done before.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So
I want to leave you with a wonderful human story recently. Last year during the conference, we invited was focused on the business and the green business. One of the speakers we invite from China, and is very good in his business and in the green business, turned out, we found out he's the direct descendant, 78th direct descendant of the Master Confucius.
Oh, my goodness.
And no, it was, and then he has become a wonderful friend. And he's a wonderful businessman, but he also has a wonderful story to tell. When he was a child, and when the Cultural Revolution, everything old was no good, and they actually demolished the Confucian old homes, and then they sent the people. He was even chased out of the house. He almost died in the snow. But he survived. He survived. And now Confucianism is back, and China realized we got to bring the religion back. Now Mr. Kong is the head of millions of Confucius family association internationally. And he's coming next year again to join us on the cultural arts dialogue, and he has become a personal friend. I was just with him in China, in Shanghai, and we had a wonderful, wonderful understanding about the future. And Confucianism is what the world needs, how to get along with people, how to come back to more ethical ways to deal with life, with business, with everything. And we need Confucianism, maybe more than ever now. Taoism is penetrating and Buddhism is getting hold, and Confucianism is coming back.
Jim, I'm sorry. Yes. I know that you have to leave soon, so I don't want to impose on your time, but I wondered if there was anything, Jim, that you wanted to ask to wrap.
I'd like to thank Al again for helping us really to meet China again, but as if for the first time.
Yeah. Well, so, that's what I hope. Great. I hope people just have an open mind, open way of look at China. Everybody's fascinated with China now, but there's always this strange fear as they get bigger and we are threatened by their economic might, their bigness. But we shouldn't have to worry about competition. We should join forces together. I think China and the West and the East and West have a lot to give to one another. We must find harmony. We must be open-minded mutually. And Chinese people coming to study in the West, they study English at grade school now. And think of the imbalance of how many of us in the West study Chinese and go there to study them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to find a balance now. We need to really pay attention to that. And we need to be much more hospitable to welcome the Chinese people to come West, and we need to go to China and learn from them. And I believe it's happening. I'm very optimistic. And I will devote the rest of my life in this endeavor and do what I can, because I'm lucky enough to be groomed to do that. I have both culture in my
right.
learning, so I need to do more. And hopefully, Jim, in the next parliament, whoever it is, I hope I can make it. I need to join you again. I missed the last two out of circumstance. I couldn't help. Yes. Yeah, so.
Well, I hope I can join you there. I'm not with the parliament anymore, but I hope we can.
Yeah. Well, we should. Oh,
trial.
Yeah. And then
Barbara
both of
too.
You too. Let's stay in touch, and you know where I am. And my website is livingdao.org. Just one word, livingdao.org. Yeah, one word, T-A-O, livingdao.org. People can find more about me and what I do.
I'm sure you're going to get a lot of traffic today.
Yeah, I'm sure you will too. And also
yeah,
have
and also,
a
Okay. Thank you so much, and continue your wonderful discussion. I'm very privileged and honored to be invited to join you in the conversation.
And thank
you
again.
For inviting me. Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.